You're listening to The Shot Podcast, presented by Grey Goose Vodka. Whether it's a dinner party for 10 or a small kickback, you know the vibes will always be right if you're surrounded by your favorite people. And great company pairs best with a great cocktail. So make it a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Impress your guests in style with an espresso martini or the always effortless classic martini with a lemon twist. No matter what you decide, everyone can appreciate the smooth, delicate taste that only a Grey Goose Vodka Martini can provide. For more info on how to craft a vodka-based cocktail, visit greygoose.com and remember to always sip responsibly.
Uninterrupted. I swear, everybody in my family been asking me. They know I know all the rappers, all y'all. They asking me what it stand for. I said, listen, when I see Gunna, I got to ask him. Because I don't fucking know what it means. But the shit sounds so good, and I know it's a vibe, so I'm pushing P2.
Come on, man. You getting a haircut during the interview, man. That's overly P.
You gotta believe it. Come on, man.
Stop what you're doing. This is a prime example of pushing P.
On this episode of Uninterrupted, The Shot Podcast, LeBron James, Maverick Carter, and Paul Rivera are joined by Rick Ross.
More should always inspire you, and ain't nothing wrong with that. We can't fall into the traps that you fall into at 16, 17, 18. There's so much more life to live.
Asia Wilson.
My biggest thing was just getting that money. Of course, championships and winning, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to provide for myself and my family.
Gunna.
I OG Dope Boy, but they was P. They was pulling up. When Boosie them was riding DUBs, floaters, and Chargers, we had some OGs in our hood riding them too, telling us, like, this how you pull up.
And Steve Stout.
There's always been a role for a record company in an artist's career. There's always been a role. I think that role has diminished over time. Because in the beginning, you needed a record label in order to find an audience. Now you find an audience before you find a record label.
Check it out.
For you, Asia, when did you realize you could get the contract you got?
Oh, the bubble.
The bubble?
The bubble. After the bubble, I was like, I need this shit. Like, this is mine. Like, I'm here for the taking.
What was in the bubble?
I don't know. I think just, like, being away and having, like, nothing there and really locking in on your craft, that definitely made me realize I could be good at this. So, yeah.
When we told him about your contract, he was like, damn, she pushing P.
That's strong. You got the biggest deal in this. It's like, you set a tone. And you open the doors for us, like, and the ones who didn't think they could.
For sure.
You can.
It's like weight lifted off my shoulders. I feel like this was my first big contract. Like, this was the first time where I could see when the money dropped, damn, I did that.
You did that.
And, like, I guess the process, I just kind of kept quiet. I kept low-key, a lot of things, of course. P was talking, oh, is she going to stay in Vegas? Is she going to do this, that, and the third? But my biggest thing was just getting that money.
Honestly, that's me.
Championships and winning, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to provide for myself and my family. So for me, once it dropped, once everything came out, I was like, thank God. Like, I'm done. I'm good. I'm out the way. So it was a lot of fun. I'm excited.
For you, you like, I just want to make some money. But, like, we're going to look back 10 years from now, and you're the one.
Pioneers.
Pioneers, some shit that's going to change. Absolutely. On this pay gap shit. Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't even processed that. I mean, going into the league as a rookie, I wanted to be different. I wanted to be something that's like, I want to change it. I want to break that glass ceiling. I want the younger generation to come up and say, hey, we don't have to go overseas to play. Like, my rookie year, our season ended in April, the draft is in April, and then you go straight into training camp and it's your season throughout the summer. Then when October comes, if you make it through playoffs, that's when you got to go overseas.
Play another season.
And play another season overseas, wherever that may be. So it's literally year-round basketball.
And you probably got paid more there than here,
right? Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of them, they go over there and won't come back.
Yeah.
They're like, I miss everything that we have in America, but like,
right,
this pay raise over here,
yes, right,
I'm not coming back over to that shit.
Like, the, you know, bag so, is serious.
The bag is serious.
The bag is serious.
And I'm going to put this grind in for 10 years or whatever. Then I'll come back.
Then I'll come back, yeah.
100%. And that's why a lot of us in our league take that chance to say, hey, I got to provide for my family. I need this money. I need this bread. And so they go overseas and you make it. But at the same time, you losing everything that you could be doing here in the States. I'm ready to hoop at this point. That's like the worst part about not going overseas. Like, you're not in, like, you can't get in game shape. Like,
oh, yeah.
Some people coming in on game shape, and I've just been training. So that's the worst
part. How many games did it take you to get in game shape?
Ooh. give me a good, like, 10 games, maybe.
How many take you, bro?
Take me about a good 10, 15.
Yeah.
No, nigga, you too old, no.
Nah, shit, you got me fucked up.
Hey,
listen.
How are you taking me?
10, 15 games.
You ready?
Yeah.
And you in game shape?
Yeah.
Rosé.
But I'm in
the
prime.
Look at me, baby. I'm in game shape.
Look at Rosé.
I'm in game shape, man.
You feel me? I'm up in the suite busting bottles. You know what I'm saying?
Put me in, coach.
You feel me? You put me in, coach, already.
Put me in, coach. How you getting the rap, Rosé?
You know, just loving it. It was just natural for me from day one. Just loving the music, the artistic side, you know what I mean? I was just so caught up in that shit as a youngster, I would have bought your album based on the car you had on the cover.
Yeah. That's how he was. Yeah,
yeah, I was looking at the artwork, and you had graffiti on your shit.
I'm in.
I want that one.
I've always felt like you're the first person since Biggie to be able to paint a picture on a record and take people to that place that you're talking about. When you say, I'm in a drop top. We ain't
drop top.
Drop top blowing. We ain't blowing.
Yeah, the wind blowing under the city lights.
Yeah. You can really vision yourself.
Yeah, he visionized that moment.
And the reason I feel that is because I really feel that shit.
You feel it?
I feel it. I'm telling you to play.
Like I'm in the White House.
Yeah.
I really felt I'm in the White House.
I swear to God.
And when I wrote that record, I rapped that record, I meant that. And when I bought Evander Crib, I painted it white.
Yeah.
Took 4 months, but we painted it white.
I got to say something about the house, because like I got the that house, right, is a monument for me, because I stayed in Ponte Ridge, and that house, from Ponte Ridge to that house is maybe like 3-4 minutes. That's my street. Like I stayed 20 years. Like I had to really get myself up out of there.
Did you ride by the house and see it?
Every other day. This is my monument
house.
Just
to get motivated.
Like, this is the biggest house we ever had and never could see, like, in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's off of Old National, like.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I do the Walmart giveaway every year, because this is my side. This is where I used to steal from this Walmart. 100%. Like, this is my Walmart. Yeah. Like, Old National Drive right into his house. I was broke when he bought the house. I remember this, like, vividly, like, what? He got my house. Like, I was really, like, mad at you. Like, man, I'm finna go around and we can tell you, man.
Because Rosé was pushing that pig.
He pushing the biggest pig possible around that time.
It inspired me, too, as a youngster. We would go down to Atlanta, go shopping, then ride back out to Fayetteville just to ride by the crib, pull over on the side of the road, and smoke one just looking at the crib. It inspired me, you know what I mean? When you coming up and you, whatever it is you have, more should always inspire you, and ain't nothing wrong with that. And I let the youngsters know that more should, because right. There's so much more out here.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? We can't fall into the traps that you fall into at 16, 17, 18. It's so much more life to live.
What is it that you want so much, Rosé? What is that thing you want?
Making history.
Making history.
Yeah. The money gonna come with it.
Because
once you get, once you go from nothing till you get that first million.
That's the hardest to make. What?
Oh, you better believe
people
it.
People always say that.
Because the culture we live in, a lot of times, 90% of these people only convinced what's the first 10 convinced.
Yep.
Right.
You understand? Once you riding big, I see the vision.
Yeah.
Bitch, you gotta see the vision when I'm up goddamn 6 nights in a row. Yeah. You supposed to seen it then. You ain't see it then. You feel me? Facts. It's like when you watching Brown shoot the motherfucking threes from the goddamn sideline, you gotta see it then.
Right.
But we can't blame them. We ain't gonna hold that against them.
It ain't they fault.
Everybody ain't visionary.
We always talk about, I tell a lot of people, sometimes it ain't about what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
As well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta have a little luck too during this journey. Like, just don't be an asshole to people, because you never know who the fuck you may be talking to.
That's
you never know who might be in the room.
That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying? You might miss an opportunity.
That's rule number
one. That could have goddamn X10, X25 on your money.
Right.
Just because you was an asshole to somebody. Like, I've had the good luxury of, first of all, my mama raised me the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Always treat others
Child
how you want to be treated. You know what I'm saying?
Child Don Glow.
Treat others how you want to be treated, all right? If you want to be an asshole, then asshole people going to come in your life. My OGs, they just raised me the right way. They always told me, like, my uncle Kurt, he was like one of my OGs. He always told me, like, listen, I'm going to give you some money, nigga, but, like, don't come to me next week asking for some more money.
Right.
Not next week. Like, I got you in a few weeks. Like, if I give you $10, go ahead and spend a couple of it, but stack the 8 now.
Yeah.
Stacked right. Eight.
Game.
Yeah, give like game. Gave me the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just gave me the game. Like, so like, I
so
learned.
Valuable. So,
it's so valuable,
valuable,
man.
We've talked about how this generation is a little different. They have options.
Yeah, yeah.
The game obviously is different today than it was, you know, when you came up in terms of the opportunities, but the grind isn't.
But it'll right? always be the same to be great, to make
if
history.
That's the bar. Right. The bar is to be great.
That would never change, no matter what.
Regardless of how on the way, on the road to riches, you can make it look a little better than it is through the, you know, we got social media, certain things don't change, but to make it to the top, the mountaintop, the work gonna still be the same.
But people be making that shit look a certain way. I be seeing ball players doing all type of crazy shit in the summer.
Yo,
like,
they trying to make a fat dude feel a certain way.
But you can't let yourself get caught in that shit.
No,
right?
No. It's really only inspiration. Do your thing.
I think at the end of the day, listen, if you wanna get better at your craft, you'll get better.
Mm-hmm. You don't gotta tell the world.
You don't.
No, I'm gonna tell you what I need to do.
Exactly.
And that's it.
During you know what you're not
during doing. The NBA season, like during the NBA season, man, listen, you go to practice. Practice is going to be 12 to 2, 11 to 1 or whatever. If you're a young team, they might make you get your ass up early, 10 to 12, 12:30. And after that, Mav, you don't have anything. You have zero responsibility. For a young guy, most of the time, they ain't got no kids. They're not married. My rookie year, we have practice. I go home, take a nap. I go back to the gym at 5. Go eat dinner, and sometimes I go again before I go to bed.
For no reason.
I just wanted to be great.
Yeah.
For no reason.
And I didn't have an on-court trainer at the time.
Right.
Just had assistant coach.
Yeah.
Assistant coach meet me at the gym, rebound for me, you know, use cones and chairs and shit like we was when we was kids.
But that's well, like, Ron, you obviously, we always talk about this, you love the process, but I want to ask you a different question. Now you're year 19.
Yeah.
You're obviously not going to play forever, so who knows how much longer you're going to play. Maybe right. You'll play forever because you're crazy. Do it scare you to think one day you're going to wake up and not have to go to practice?
No. Before we let him answer it, the streets need him. We need that motivation. We need that inspiration. You know, the streets call that boy the king. You can't get that shit if you ain't earned that.
He can't lead the court.
He can't lead the court. Gunner said you can't lead the court.
If he leave from playing basketball, he better be coaching, right?
Why, Gunner? Why?
Because we need him on the court at all times.
No, we need the homie. Now, come on now. We watched the process of becoming not just an excellent b-ball player, but just taking it to another level.
And one of us.
And that shit connected with this generation.
Yeah.
That's dope as fuck, though, because they don't realize that I fuck you
need
with them.
Just,
I need them. No, I get inspiration from them too. When I seen them at the game that couple weeks ago,
turned up. Well, you gotta turn it up. I ain't ever been so close to him like that. He gonna turn it up. You severe on that court. You lock in.
By the way, you pushing P right now.
Believe it.
I never seen a nigga get his beard trimmed with sunglasses.
With sunglasses. You gotta be pushing P. You gotta be pushing P to do this.
One of the main goals for each episode of The Shop is to share and learn from the unique experiences of all our guests as we curate conversations with those who are shaping culture. What I've learned is that through the journey, you know, all the hard work, the hustle, and the consistency, it's always important to celebrate your wins. So do it in style and raise a glass to toast the unforgettable moments that continue to make us who we are. Toast to your wins with a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Check out greygoose.com for smooth-tasting recipes. And remember, sip responsibly. The Shop podcast is presented by Grey Goose Vodka.
Gunner, so you got to tell us, what's pushing? Where did it come from and what is it? How do you define it?
Man, it started in nines. It's done just, it's out of my hands.
By the way, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a great thing.
You gave it to the world. You gave it something.
Yeah, but pushing P really started. At first, it's just me just pulling up, just player, like, I pull up just on some player, might got me a vibe with me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. My homie's like, okay, you might come back around. I'm doing the same one with a different, like, type of vibe. Like, oh, you still going, you pushing P now. Now you pushing it. Now you pushing this player shit. Like, it's coming. Now it's like, now I'm trying to make sure, like, I'm capitalizing on the P. Now it's, hey, y'all push a P or what?
And where did that come from for you? Like, that, like, wannabe, like, player? I can tell you exactly where it came from for us. But where did it come
from? It came from that Porter Ridge over there, the neighborhood.
Like, unbelievable.
Like, the older dope boys, like, I OG dope boy, but they was P. They was pulling up. When Boosting them was riding DUBs, floaters, and charges,
we had some OGs in our hood riding them too, telling us like, this how you pull up. And I looked under them, got my game and ran with it.
Ran with it, right?
Kept it P.
I just thought it was some player shit, period. Like, whether it was some Atlanta shit, some Cadillac shit, it felt like that. And then I started seeing all the people from Oakland saying, wait a minute, they stole our shit.
Right.
He had to defend it.
Right. And to come to find out, they just come from player shit too.
Yeah, so that's we all they player mean. Shit.
That's what I took from it, like, bro. Everybody been player, like, you know, your uncles and aunties?
Player.
They was player. So that's what you
that's get. What that's what I'm saying.
I'm too.
I'm being mad. Atlanta, mad players too. Ball. Right. I didn't understand it. They were like, no, that's our term. He stole our shit. And then he snapped back. The shit went away. And then all of a sudden, Nike started pushing P.
I didn't stop it.
He said he got pushing
pancakes.
They pushing pancakes. And then you went over to Europe in the middle of all that. And they was pushing P over there.
Paris.
You did go to Paris.
Yes. But that idea of corporations taking black culture, you and I have talked, you were the one that was, you were at the forefront of this whole
thing. Well, the thing that's fucked up, and it's good you're here, Russ, on this topic, is I always felt it was fucked up that brands would hire an artist. Like when I was doing it, I'm like, stop. I always wanted the brands to do something with artists where they had the same shared values. You knew exactly who I was when you got in business with me. Right. That's why you chose to get in business with me.
Right.
The brands would get in business with Ross, Lil Wayne, and as soon as somebody said what they already said, then all of a sudden they pull back and shit on the artist. They did it to Ross.
They did it to Wayne.
They literally did a deal with them and then used old lyrics to say that they fucked up and they said something wrong. Because somebody wrote about it.
Them lyrics were there when the deal was done.
It was the same lyrics. You knew what you got into when you did the deal. And to see 10 years later, brands are saying pushing P, they don't even know what it means.
They don't even know what it means.
But if somebody in the New York Times writes, IHOP pushing P, P stands for pimping, playing, da-da-da-da, then all of a sudden they're going to be like, shitting on you.
Right.
That's what they do.
They
are so fair weather.
That is the point, is there's nobody black at that level in those places to go, wait a minute.
We need more black people.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why we're going. That's why we're changing.
But that's why we're changing.
That's why we're changing. Changing.
For you, Asian, talk to us about like for NBA players. Like, yeah. Just like if I average 20, I get paid.
For yes.
Like I get paid. Yeah. That's it. I average this. I do this.
Yeah.
WNBA players, you got to do that. And.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest difference. Like on the men's side. You make X amount, you score this amount of points, you're going to get that next check. But for us, if you do that, you have to be marketable. You have to sound a certain way. You have to look a certain way on social. And it just seems like we can never just break that barrier in itself. It's like, if I'm not marketable, I can't make any money. I could be the best player in the league ever, scoring 40, 10, and 5, easily.
Asia, you feel like that? You feel like it doesn't matter the performance, it's got to come with all those other things to be able to get paid.
For sure.
Wow.
Like, that's where it all comes from, because it's like, if I'm not marketable, I'm nothing. I can put the ball in the hoop, but if I can't go to a Nike or if I can't go to like a Pepsi or Mountain Dew and be like, hey, sign me, it's nothing. Because that's where majority of my money is going to come from, because our league is still building that. But that's the hardest thing. I think that's our biggest barrier is we can be that best player, but if you're not marketable, if you don't look a certain way, sound a certain way, especially being a black
woman. What makes you marketable? That's what I was going to say. What makes in your head?
I think I have to credit Coach Staley to this because she'd allowed me to be me. I think I connected with fans and people because they're like, okay, that's who she is. She's going to be happy-go-lucky. She's going to laugh. She's real cool. She chill. And like that's what connected people to me. And then that fan base just carried over as a professional athlete.
Have you had a way to help grow the game, What were some of the things that you, Mike, can, you know, bring to the table?
I think our biggest thing would have to be sharing our stories. I think that's where it goes missing. Everyone's great to know me as a basketball player. Oh, she can put the ball in the hoop. But outside of that, who is she? And it's like, okay, I'm connected to her because she's dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. I've opened up to that community. And it's so welcoming. But then now that young dyslexic girl wants to watch me play. She wants to buy my jersey. She wants to buy my candles. So things like that, I think if we can tell our stories, and it's not necessarily on the ESPN platforms, on like small platforms.
A group of people that may be able to help you share your story.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. P.A. I think that's like
big. And you saying that is extremely powerful because I feel that applies to artists as well.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Young artists sharing the knowledge, which is the true wealth, So when you're a young artist, you don't have to go in and feel like you have to meet an attorney this week and close a deal 2 weeks later. You actually could study from knowledge that Gunna shared, Rosé shared, you know what I mean?
So, now, Rosé, how do you feel being independent? You ready to go do your thing, or you was...
I'm looking forward to this new trek we on. You understand? I most definitely enjoyed, you know, my previous, you know, experiences with Def Jam and Epic Records, and now we finna take it to another level, you know? And most definitely, when you talk about being independent, it's, you know, totally about ownership and creativity.
Thinking about ownership and talking about that, it's like, especially in the music business, even listening to rappers talk, you hear ownership and masters and all this shit. How has that affected the music business? Like, you've seen it too, right, Rosé?
Most definitely, and I love the fact that that's the topic of the conversation. So as young artists, you know what they're going there speaking for. And not only that, now it's time to put in the work, because what good is having your masters if they ain't worth shit?
Exactly. That's a
good
point.
Now it's time to turn up and go get it.
Really go get it.
Take this shit around the world.
Yeah. Owning the masters is cool. You got to put the work in. I know, like, for you, like, yeah, you process,
gotta put,
right?
You got to put the work in.
Yeah. Right.
Now you got to make the masters valuable.
Yeah. Like, we both was the number one pick. But they don't give... Once you're the number one pick, you get to this thing, it don't matter. Now you got to put the fucking work in. You got to validate why you were selected number one overall.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I did what I did at St. V. She did what she did at South Carolina. Okay, cool.
Once you put that work in, it becomes priceless. Mm. You understand? Once it becomes something that nobody's ever seen before, it becomes priceless.
Let me ask both of y'all, do record labels still matter, in your opinion, in 2022?
Without a doubt.
They do.
You can't say they don't.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta put yourself in a position and establish a relationship that's gonna be profitable, which is hard work. They know a young nigga coming from the streets, a quick advance is gonna make you happy. Right. They understand that. But now, whatever position you put yourself in, you gotta work yourself out of. Mm. Rosé ain't gonna cry. We finna grind our way out of this until we own everything we want. And that's what we did.
There's always been a role for a record company in an artist's career. There's always been a role. I think that role has diminished over time. Because in the beginning, you needed a record label in order to find an audience. Now you find an audience before you find a record label. You already built an audience. So it just is money. And if somebody's lending you money, the terms of that loan that a record company provides is just outrageous. It's your money that they're giving you advance on, and it's like, and then they own the property. And I feel like the artist should always own the property, and the artist should give them a percentage for distribution. And it should work like that. Now, at certain times, artists, you know, they want the bag. And if you want the bag up front, that's going to absolutely come with some penalties. But I think now, I know now, that the artists of tomorrow, they need technology behind them. They don't need managers so much. They need chief technology officers. So when you see NFTs and Web3 and the metaverse, you need to have somebody or a platform that is absolutely clear that you could plug into and reap the benefits of that. If there's 200,000 people that love you, you could make a fuckload of money. Own the shit. But if you are signed to a record label, there's 200,000 people who love you, you're not even going to really feel the impact of that financially.
Some people be like, well, fuck the labels, we don't need labels. But you can't, these like really business partners, how I look at it. Like,
facts.
You shouldn't say fuck the label, because they taking the chance on you. When they give you money, they taking the risk too. It's up to you to really make this money back and go make more money. And like, for like all like young artists who coming up, like I want to tell them just like, man, don't look at it as like it's a bad deal. You're not getting what you want in the beginning, because it can always get better. I'm a contract killer. I call it like contract killer.
You
like,
better believe
you give me the contract, I'm gonna kill it.
Point work.
And I'm gonna get another contract. It's my terms conditions now.
Same thing with me. When you come into the league, you get a rookie scale deal. You don't have no. There's nothing you can do about that. That deal is already scaled. You're a rookie. Your deal is scaled. 3 years, 4th year option, all that. It's scaled. If I put this work in these 3-4 years, I'm getting the max. And now you can tell me. I'm getting the max. Now it's on my turn. The meat and potatoes of it all is motherfuckers don't want to work. Everybody wants instant oatmeal.
That get on your nerves.
That get on my nerves. You know.
No. That ain't what you want.
Everybody want instant oatmeal. Put the shit in the microwave and the shit done in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll hit your stomach and allow you to go to sleep, but that ain't what you want.
Bro, say, one of the illest things with you is you've never felt like you were chasing. You've never chased a wave, a vibe, a fad, or nothing. You've always been rosé.
Facts.
Like, where's that come from in terms of just...
It may come from the fact of dealing with being unaccepted so many years before I got on. I was ghostwriting and writing and collaborating with others, but I refused to make what was working for them for myself. That wasn't for me. And it took me much longer to get on, but the reward was much greater.
When we were at your listening party, you said, I did this, I did that, but the most important thing is the lyrics. We're going through a phase now where it's all about vibes, mm-hmm. and that's being rewarded, and the lyrics are being overlooked for the most part. And you're saying that to market yourself to an audience, you have to do X, Y, and Z. You could do 40, 10, this. And I'm saying for a writer, you could write the hottest bars, the slickest shit, the dopest, deepest, triple entendre shit. But if everybody's gravitating and incentivized towards vibes, then the writers are in the same situation that she's in, because that's what's being rewarded.
Have you ever put a verse down, sent it to a rapper?
Gotta change his verse.
And come back and like, damn, I gotta change my verse.
Now, I done made a few players change their verse. I would never say their name. That's what Rosé is about.
That's all
people change their verse.
Oh, without a doubt. And then explain it to me. See, Rosé, the beat you chose. It was the beat.
Hey, you gotta do it.
It was the beat you chose.
Niggas start doing this shit.
I had it all worked out, but the beat did.
Yeah, I know it. Whatever happened.
I ain't even tripping. It's for the streets.
When you heard Devil in a Blue Dress, did you know where he was gonna put your verse at?
Did he put that space when it came on? Did it bug you out
when you heard it like that?
No. I was actually in Hawaii. We was collaborating. I was working with Kanye on My Beautiful, Dark Twisted Fantasy.
That's my favorite verse.
As soon as I heard the beat, I wrote a verse to it right then.
Or right away.
I started just
vibing. You wrote that verse right away?
Yeah, right. That's an hour later. No, the verse you heard ain't the verse that it was. I wrote a verse, two or three verses right then. Just to let Kanye hit a vibe. And I was like, this is my verse right here. This is the verse I want. He listened to it, walked off, came back an hour later. Rosé, I know you. No, this is like the first time somebody ever told Rosé.
Right.
I know you. You could go harder. Whoa.
Because he's a producer. He's a producer.
Hold on. So when he said that, what did you do?
You know, Rosé ain't used to that.
How did Rosé respond to that?
Oh, man, this might be like confusion.
Right. You may have to get on the plane.
This feeling like confusion.
Right.
Hold on.
Because you questioning what you wrote. You don't like what you wrote. That's what he really saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying.
Three or four verses. I just dissected this.
I looked at him. Yeah, because he went vibe to it, came back an hour later. You know, I'm listening to some
emotion. You done moved on.
Yeah. This Rosé. This easy. He came back. Rosé, you know I know you. This verse right here, you could... And I looked at him, I could what? Don't even finish that. Just chill. Come back and holler at me. He closed the room. I said, this nigga crazy. And I went back in immediately, right then.
And wrote that verse we heard.
The verse you heard.
He was right. Wow. He was right. That's why Ye is a great producer.
No, without a doubt. He most definitely gonna challenge you. Yeah. He most definitely gonna bring, and that to me, to be great, and make sure everybody that's in the room with you great, you have to challenge and not just accept.
Is there anybody you've never done a song with
that you would like to?
Of course,
Sade.
Sade. Mm.
That's one of my favorite
artists. Why? And why?
Just the sound.
That's your vibe.
You know,
when I think about
Maybach Music, when I think about just a level of class, when I think about certain artists, when I think about a black queen, I think of Anita Baker. I think of Sade. I love how Anita Baker carry herself. I never met her.
Sade.
You feel me? Yeah. You feel me? It's right. Like when I think of certain things, certain sounds, when I think of, you know, just the rapture.
And what about Anita Baker? Who's the artist? And why?
Man, it's a few. Ross, for sure. Got hey. Ross, for sure.
Hey. We got Rosé.
We because, like, just right now, because we just brought him on the spot, he here, and I really know, like, a lot of him. I'm really a fan of his music from, like, way back, Port of Miami, like, all the way up to just, like, to time to the day. Even when we just hearing back songs that fuck with me, you know I got it, like, damn, this nigga been having hits for years, like, years. And I know, like, me and him getting up, we're gonna make us a few of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A few beats.
We're creative artists. We play.
Hands on. Yeah.
We play. For sure. Because Anita Baker, Sade, like, that's up my alley too.
Yeah, because like, players.
I feel like my next album is gonna be like on some more grown level shit. He make that real grown man music, let you know, like, hey, you can drink lean out of a glass.
Yeah,
you exactly. Pop popping champagne. Like.
Asia, what about you? Who you ever play with that you wanna play with?
Ooh, Candace Parker.
Really? Why?
Yeah, number one. I mean, I feel like she's the first player that looked like me that I'm like, oh, I could do this. Like, just to play alongside her would be like a dream come true.
What about you, Bron? Who do you want to play with?
Bronny is number one on my fucking list.
That's dope.
He's number one on my list that I want to play with for sure.
You want him to beat you?
You think?
Nah, he can't beat me.
Hey, Bronny. Nah. Beat your daddy, man.
Not too long ago, I said, I asked him, I said, what you want to do with this? Like, you want to get to the pros? What you want to do? He's like, yeah. I said, why? He said, because I want to make a name for myself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like it.
And when I heard that.
That's more motivating than money.
Yeah.
I was like.
Legendary. That's a bigger motivator than money.
What's she going to say to that?
Nothing.
I said, well, let's fucking get it.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Say no. That's all I need to
what
hear.
What he's saying to your face is, I appreciate what you did.
But back to
but
fuck
I want to be
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and I love it. By the way, he changed his name to Bronny. Oh.
I didn't.
He changed his name
LeBron
to Bronny.
James Jr.
Yeah.
You made him Bronny. A junior.
Yeah, made him a junior.
He Bronny, though.
But he Bronny. And he Bronny to the world.
Yeah.
He Bronny to the world. You know?
For sure. Who else you want to play with?
In today's game, shit. Man, there's some motherfuckers in today's game, but Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's the one.
Steph Curry's the one that I want to play with, for sure, in today's game. All time, it's crazy, man. I love Scottie Pippen, bro.
Really?
Yeah, Scottie was like the shit. Like, I mean, obviously MJ was crazy, cold. Kobe would have been another one. But like, Scottie Pippen and Penny Hardaway was like my two, because I seen myself in them. Same how Asia just said what she just said.
Yeah.
Like, I saw myself in Pippen and Penny, tall guards, point forward, get everybody involved, defend in all type of positions. But, like, right now, Steph.
Why Steph?
Man, I love everything about that guy. Man, that
motherfucker. Lethal.
Lethal, man. When he get out of his car, you better guard him right from the moment he pulls up to the arena. As soon as he get out of his car, you better guard his
ass. Oh, guard him.
Yeah, better guard him. You might want to guard him when he get out of the bed.
The parking deck.
He's serious.
He's serious.
Please guard him soon. Don't let him touch that
some other motherfuckers too. Obviously,
I love Luca. He's my favorite.
Luca Cole. Luca Batman.
But he a lot like you to me.
Yeah. Me and Luca, we good.
And Rosé, speaking of hooping, I know you love him. He's your man. You and Khaled for the money one-on-one. We need to know how this ends.
I do him dirty. He came home. I'm Rosé, you fucking up.
You two in shape right now. I'm Khaled right now, man.
I do him dirty.
You obviously own a bunch of Wingstops, Checkers. What made you go into that space?
Wingstop, it was just really on some cool shit. I just wanted to pull up in a sports car with a date. Yo, walk in. Y'all know what I need. What you
want?
Thanks for listening to Uninterrupted, the Shop Podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening to the show. For full video episodes, check out Uninterrupted's YouTube channel. And for updates on new episode releases and exclusive behind-the-scenes content, follow Uninterrupted on social media.
You're listening to The Shop Podcast, presented by Grey Goose Vodka. Whether it's a dinner party for 10 or a small kickback, you know the vibes will always be right if you're surrounded by your favorite people. And great company pairs best with a great cocktail. So make it a Grey Goose Martini cocktail. Impress your guests in style with an espresso martini or the always effortless classic martini with a lemon twist. No matter what you decide, everyone can appreciate the smooth, delicate taste that only a Grey Goose vodka martini can provide. For more info on how to craft a vodka-based cocktail, visit greygoose.com and remember to always sip responsibly. Sip responsibly. www.responsibledrinking.org. 2024, Grey Goose. Its trade dress and the geese device are trademarks. Imported by Grey Goose Importing Company, Coral Gables, Florida. Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume. Distilled from French wheat.